Our Lady's a very wise woman, and she's come to us to give us things to use to convert people. We often have programs of evangelization, and we say, if we do this and we do that, and there are good things, using the media, giving great talks and organizing conferences, good things that God blesses and brings graces upon. But nobody's a better evangelist than the Virgin Mary, and she gives us tools. So in this talk, I'm going to give you tools for yourself, but really tools that you can use to save other people that will work, that have worked on myself. I am the product of a sinful, horrible human being who received Mary's tools, not even knowing it, and then she's like, now you're mine, boy. But before we get into that, I want to share with you two other kind of tools that I have found to be extraordinarily important in ministering to other people. And the first one might trigger you as a Catholic. It triggered me when I first thought about it. And that is, oh, what could it be? Oh, what could trigger me? Oh, no. Don't show me that. Don't show me praying with somebody. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. I don't know how to do that. I don't know what to do. I know the feeling. Ah, what if I do? It's bad. Okay. I want you to imagine a scenario. Imagine a scenario where you're at work or you're at the grocery store and there's a person crying. I don't know. I'm just making this up. She's crying because she just got news that her mother is sick with cancer and is going to die right away, soon, very soon or something. I don't know. And you go up to her because you see she's crying, and that already is a good thing. Going up to her, are you okay, ma'am? Is everything okay? What can I do for you? You put your hand on her back and you pat her. And she's like, oh, I just found out my mom is going to die. And then you say, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm going to pray for you. I promise God will take care of you. You don't know if she's Catholic. You don't know anything. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it that I have found that works extraordinarily well is what would be the circumstance if you said, can we pray together now? And she said, yes. And what's your name? My name's Caroline. Okay, Caroline, we're going to pray. And you put your hand on her shoulder, not because you have the power of the Holy Spirit, but because you're a human reaching out and covering a fellow human with love. And sometimes people need human touch to feel like they're being loved. And you put your hand on her shoulder and you say, Caroline, let's pray. And the Father and the Son. And she knows, you don't know if she knows how to pray or not. You don't know what her church life is like or not. How do you do it? I'm going to give you the how-to. Step number one, humility. It's only two steps. Humility is the first step. It's not you. I don't want to. What if I pray and it goes bad or she doesn't like me? It's not you. You're nothing. You're nobody. You're just a stranger. If you have nothing, when you're praying for somebody, what do? You ask God to help you because you can't do it. You got a crying woman on your shoulders here. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And you just keep saying, come, Holy Spirit, until you mean it. Because sometimes you might have to pray with somebody and you don't mean it. It's kind of like when I tell my children I love them. Sometimes I mean it. You say I love you so often that sometimes it's just like, I love you too. But then sometimes you say it and you're like, no, I really love you. I love you. And you mean it. You feel it right in the gut. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And then you mean it. Like eventually you're like, no, I am in a grocery store right now and there's a woman crying and my hand is on her. Come, Holy Spirit. Blessed Mother, be present. Blessed Mother, be present. Be with your daughter, Caroline. Put your hand upon her. Pray for her. Pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon her. Pray through me, Blessed Mother. And then you do the best you can. So step one, humility. Asking for help because you ain't got it. Step number two, love. Step number one is humility. Step number two is love. What do I love? First and foremost, her soul. God, fill her soul with peace. Give her comfort. Help her to see you in her life. Help her to know it's going to be okay. Come, Holy Spirit, come into her soul. Whatever sadness is there, give her peace, give her understanding, give her confidence that you're with her, that you're with her mom. What else do you love? You love her ability for others. Come, Holy Spirit, give her the gift to be able to be there with her mom so that she can comfort her mom who's suffering. Give her strength so that she can comfort her children. Give her confidence. So now you don't know what's going on in this woman's life, but you're really touching some deep stuff. And when you're saying, and then when you don't know what to say, come Holy Spirit, Blessed Mother, be here with us. And then they might put things in you to say, Lord, help her, Help her to forgive people that, and you don't know where that's coming from. Help her to forgive people that have harmed her. And you don't know what you're saying. You don't feel, she doesn't feel anything, but little do you know, there's conflict in the family. Now she's got to reach out to her sisters, who she's estranged from and hasn't talked to them in a long time. Help her to forgive Caroline. Caroline, help her to forgive. Lord, forgive her for her sins. Help her to feel your love. Help her to feel your peace. So anytime you pray for somebody, even if there's somebody in a wheelchair, you always do jujitsu. What is that? They're coming. You're going for one thing, and then you flip it around. Now we're praying for your soul. Okay, so you love them, so you're praying for the soul first. You're praying for their ability to reach other souls. Then you're praying for the body, finally. Finally, the last thing that we care about is the body. Because it's important, but not as important as the soul and where they're going. And as you're praying, Holy Spirit, put a seed of God in her. Help her to have a relationship with you that you can get her through this. And then send the Holy Spirit through her body. Send the Holy Spirit through her mother's body. If it be your will, you can heal her. Help us to see your will. Help us to have your comfort. Help us to have your peace. This works. This works. Why? What is actually happening? This is an act of faith. What is actually happening is you're giving God the opportunity to be God. As Catholics, we don't do that very often. We say, I'll pray for you. Sometimes we remember to pray for them. But no, right here, right now, let's pray. I don't care. I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're Jew. I don't know if you're Muslim. I don't know if you're atheist. If you're an atheist and this is you, wow. And you feel something happening here? You feel something stirring in there because of this religious person? That's going to open up the heart bigly. And they're going to start crying. Most often when this happens, God is taking advantage of this opportunity to touch their heart, and they start bawling. Sometimes nothing happens. That happens a lot. Nothing happens in your eyes or in their eyes. And a few days later, dramatic changes, and they don't realize it. Mother Angelica, you all know Mother Angelica, she founded EWTN. She was already a nun. She was already a consecrated sister. She was already living a very pious life. She'd already moved to Alabama from Ohio. And she was working in a field, and a priest kept coming by saying, Mother, can I pray for you? No. What for? So that you can have a greater relationship with the Holy Spirit. Get out of here. I was baptized. I was confirmed. And then every day, the priest, she thought, this priest just wants my AC because it's so hot outside. Keeps going to come in and have a coffee and pray for me. Just trying to be near. And one day, her mother was sick, and he said, can I pray for your mom? I guess so. And then afterwards, she said, do you mind if I just pray for you, Mother? And then so they prayed for her. Just pray that she'll have a greater love, a greater relationship with God. Just things that we should pray for each other. But instead of saying, I'm going to pray for you, like praying together right here, right now. And she didn't feel anything in the moment. A couple days passed. All of a sudden, she started speaking in a weird language. She was reading the Gospel of John. And one of the sisters came into her room. And she said, Mother, dinner's ready. And she said, blah, blah, blah. What was that, Mother? And then she left the room. She's like, and she was freaking out. And so she called the priest, and she was like, oh, Mother, you've got the gift of tongues. I don't want this gift. And after that, she started being more interested in Scripture. She started having a great fire and love for the Word of God, a greater desire for holiness, a greater desire for righteousness. And she started preaching and going out to the Protestants and going out to the Episcopalians. She started recording little audiobooks. She started doing all this stuff, reaching out to other people. She had a desire for other people's souls. She didn't feel it in the moment. She didn't feel it in the moment. And now, and because of that one person praying over her, she started EWTN, which, in my opinion, saved the Catholic Church in the United States. Preserved the faith when people were throwing it down the tubes and replacing it with foolishness. All because somebody wanted to pray for her and with her, and she didn't feel it. So no prayer. The doctors and the saints teach us no prayer is ever wasted. Any opportunity you have to pray with somebody, take it. Take it. And that's your opportunity to introduce Mary to them, even if they're not Marian. Once you say, can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? You don't have to touch them if you don't want to. The funny thing is that a lot of times we hear the Holy Spirit and we imagine people praying like this and praying like this and praying all sorts of things, right? Our Lady prays like this. When she shows us the image of Our Lady Guadalupe, her hands are like this. When she's at Fatima, she opened her, and at Lourdes, she opened her hands down like this to let the graces come down. You pray the way you pray, but pray from the heart and pray with them in the moment with faith and confidence that no prayer is left unaided, even if they don't see it, especially people who are not religious. Let's say, for example, a lot of times we meet people who are even hostile towards religion. They see you wearing your medal. They see you wearing your crucifix. You see them eyeball it. Maybe you even strike up a conversation. They're closed off because the heart is hard. Imagine if the first thing, let's say you're in an Uber with somebody, they're Muslim, and they say, oh, I see you're a Catholic. Oh, are you Islam? Not really. I don't practice. Oh, I don't like you Catholics. You're so judgmental. You try to explain, and then they say, you know, can we pray together? Wow, okay. What's your name? Muhammad. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, God, for Muhammad. Thank you for his life. Thank you for his family. Thank you for all the good things you've done in his life. All of a sudden, Muhammad's heart starts melting away. It's like, wow, thank you so much for that prayer. I really felt peace. Well, if you want to feel real peace, you should come to our church over here at the Catholic Church, St. Jude Catholic Church. It makes a difference. I've seen miracles happen, literally miracles. In my classroom, we did this exercise. And some of the parents are like, what are you, charismatic? No, this is our faith, man. And one of the boys felt like God was giving him a gift of prayer. And one of our students, she had complete hearing loss in one ear. And the doctor was saying that she doesn't have to get hearing aids. And her hearing is leaving very quickly in the other ear because of bone movements and stuff. And I said, Alex, pray over this young woman. Pray for her. He's like, how? I was like, I don't know. What do I know? Just put your hand out and say a couple words or whatever. Pray to yourself. And afterwards, he started shaking and vibrating. And I was like, okay, you can stop, dude. You can stop. You're going to get me in trouble. And then later, the girl went to the doctor. This was on a Friday. She went on Monday. Perfect hearing. The doctors could not explain it. The bone that was blocking, starting to block, completely gone. Now, I'm not a healer. You're not a healer. But God is a healer. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it doesn't. Either way, you jujitsu them into praying with them, asking the Blessed Mother to pray with them. And now all of a sudden, the seed is planted. And when they give you permission to pray for them, and if you end in a Hail Mary, you've prayed a Hail Mary on their behalf. Pray for me now and at the hour of my death. You just scored them a prayer for them at the hour of their death. Here's a big problem. Binding prayers. We don't realize it. We're constantly under assault from the devil. The devil is not a monster. A lot of times we don't talk about the devil. It's scary. Don't mention the devil. The children are not going to sleep at night. The devil's not usually going to appear in extraordinary ways. Why? Because let's say, for example, a devil appears in this young man's room when he's sleeping, chokes him, beats him. What is this young man going to do? He's going to go to confession, holy water everywhere, pray the rosary, put candles, put statues, put pictures everywhere. The devil does not want that. He does not want to even be recognized. The devil is a whisperer. St. Ignatius of Loyola would call these desolations. The soul is going through desolation when you're agitated, when you're afraid, when you're depressed, when you feel far from God, when you feel anxious, when you feel inadequate. You're going through a desolation. Whenever you feel, oh man, my heart is pumping. I love God. I want to pray. Oh, the rosary's not fun. You're going through consolation right now. It's objectively boring. It's just praying the same prayer over and over for 20 minutes straight. You're going through a consolation whenever you feel that. The devil is subtle. He's a whisperer, and he whispers things to us that cause us to unravel. So he says, you know, you're not going to have enough money to pay the bill next month, and this is only the previous month. That gets a string pulling in my mind. Now I'm thinking of finance, 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 about what's going to happen next month. And yes, you got to pay the bills, but right now you got to get the kids ready for school. The devil's starting to unravel in your mind. Now it's impacting the way you treat your children. It's desolation. Before I came here, I was like, how can I talk for 4 hours? I can't do anything. Oh, and then I realized I'm going through a desolation. A lack of confidence in God is an evil spirit. Fear is an evil spirit. And so you do a binding prayer. If you're clinically depressed and you have a chemical problem, that's not what I'm saying right now. I'm saying those ebbs and flows of life, sometimes the ebb is also agitated by an evil spirit who's whispering to magnify sometimes an illness or a mental problem that is already present. So if you do have anxiety naturally, if you are naturally a worrier, the devil knows your natural weakness and can pick and pick and pick to get you to fall apart. But there are times where you have clinical issues. If you talk too much, the devil can be like, yeah, everybody loves you. Keep talking, keep talking. And everybody's like, oh, I hate this lady. Wow, she'll never be quiet. So how do you get rid of this? It's very simple. In the name of Jesus, I add Mary because it humiliates Satan far more when you call upon the name of Mary because Jesus is a divine person. It's meet and right that he gets humbled by God. But to be humbled by a woman, the queen of all the angels, a little virgin, and he's supposed to be the highest of all the angels, and now she's stepping on his head. Oh, he hates that. At Lourdes, Bernadette was praying in front of Our Lady, and Bernadette got really afraid because she heard the voices of what sounded like 1,000 angry monsters just coming down the river. And and then she looked up at Our Lady, and Our Lady just went like this. And they ran off and disappeared instantaneously, just a glance, just one eye, and they disappeared. So Our Lady is the crusher of the serpent. So what is the serpent use? Desolation. She will help to crush your desolation. Now, the spiritual life is like this. God often removes consolations to make you mature. You're praying the rosary because it feels good. Oh, that's very good, actually. But when he takes away that consolation and it's boring, there's no rosaries in sight. Only Jeopardy is on television. So I'm watching television now. Our Lady, being a good mother, only offers consolation. Even it's kind of like a mother when the dad is angry. You're not eating any dinner tonight. You're only eating a piece of ham. That's it. The mom is doing what? Here, take this grapes. That's what Our Lady does when we're in desolation. She gives you some grapes. So I'm going to teach you a binding prayer. In the name of Jesus and Mary, I bind you, spirit of fear, anxiety. I bind you, spirit of lust. I bind you, spirit of gluttony. I bind you, spirit of pride. I bind you, spirit of hatred. And if you don't know what it is and you just don't feel right, I bind any evil spirit that is not of the Holy Spirit and cast you out to the foot of the cross to be judged by our Lord. You have to say this with conviction. I did this with conviction. I was nervous about coming here. And I said it with conviction, and all of a sudden I felt like a lion. Because what happens, the way the devil whispers, I like the analogy, if somebody's knocking on the door, this is what the devil does. The door is your house, your soul. He knocks on the door and he says, hey, I got some fear out here. And then you open the door just a little bit, even just a crack, to hear what he has. Oh, what do you got? Once that door's open a crack, he puts his foot in the door. I've got this, I've also got that. And he's pushing. Once his foot is in the door, it becomes very hard after that. Your thoughts start going boom. That happens with lust, that happens with anxiety, that happens with doubt, happens with everything. So you have to say it firm. I had a lot of anxiety because I got pneumonia very, very badly. And because, you know, when you're a young person, you think you live forever. And I realized, oh, snap. I was pious still, but I realized I can die. Even though God loves me and Mary loves me, I could still die at any stinking moment. And I came really close to dying. So that sent me in a whirlwind of like questioning, but on top of that whirlwind was the devil, and I all of a sudden everything was dark. I was like, what's the point of loving my children? Oh, they're just gonna die, I'm just gonna be separated. All these just dark thoughts. They weren't rational, but it was very dark. Very sad. And then one day, and I went to my spiritual director, I went everything. He said, oh, I don't know what's happening with you. You're balanced, what's wrong? I said, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, one day I was in the car and I said, in the name, and I yelled it out with fervor that would scare anybody in the car. I was by myself. In the name of Jesus and Mary, I bind you, spirit of fear. I bind you, spirit of fear of death. I bind you, spirit of anxiety. And I cast you to the foot of the cross, never, never, never to return. And it was gone. They're powerless. When you mean it, you've got to mean it. You've got to mean it. And you're able to do this over yourself and any other legitimate subordinate. So a parent can pray this over their children. A husband can pray this over their wife. And even a wife can pray this over their husband. Even like, wait, I don't know about that. It's allowed. You can ask Father Ripperger. He's a very famous exorcist and priest. He makes this very clear. I have, on occasion, prayed this over strangers, not directly, but in my mind, I see a little bad kid at the airport who will not stop making noise and crying. In the name of Jesus and Mary, I bind whatever spirit is troubling that kid that's causing me to be troubled. And I cast it, and it stops sometimes, but always in myself. So in the name of Jesus and Mary. So the tools we have so far are the Holy Spirit for praying over other people, asking Our Lady to be present, binding prayer. Binding, it's very liberating. I give talks, I record videos, and before I do the binding prayer, my name's, okay, record. In this video, we're going to, okay, record. In this video, okay, record. But then I do the binding prayer, 30-minute talk comes out, no problem, without any hesitation, without any worrying. All right, another weapon we have and another tool is the brown scapular. This is what got me. This is what changed my life. The brown scapular. Everybody should be wearing a brown scapular. In the early 13th century, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to Simon Stock, and she promised him, anybody who wears this scapular as a sign of their consecration shall not suffer eternal fire. What does that mean? It means that if I wear this as a sign that I give my life to God through Mary, I will not go to hell. If I'm saying, Mary, be my mother, I will not burn in hell. That's the easiest way to save a soul. You want to save a soul, convince a family member or a relative or anybody to wear the brown scapular. Very simple. If I was a priest, I would be enrolling everybody. Easy. The scapulars I brought to you were only 49 cents. You cannot give a scapular or convince anybody to wear the scapular if you do not have scapulars to give. You prayed over somebody, you prayed with somebody, you give them the scapular, they will be converted. It would be an insult to the Virgin Mary for somebody who's wearing the scapular to go to hell. There's nobody in hell who died wearing a scapular. It would be an insult to the scapular, it would be an insult to Our Lady. She brings about the conversion, or somehow the scapular is gone when they die. She brings about the conversion. In my experience, this even works with people who don't want to wear it. I had a person who had a heart attack in a restaurant. I put my scapular, I was carrying 2 at the time. Now I carry 50, 100. I put my scapular on him, and I don't know anything about him, but I know that when they carried him off, he was clutching the scapular, and there's no way he could have known that I put it on him. For me, that was a sign saying, I got this one. I got this one. How do you get people to wear it? You have to be as cunning as a serpent and as gentle as a dove. Sometimes the opening is easy. What I recommend to family members who have children who do not wear scapulars, and I know what you're saying, they got to be enrolled. Yes, they should be enrolled. But Our Lady is greedy for souls. If you're just lucky to get it around their shoulders, Our Lady's going to make it work, okay? She's not going to be like, yes, I'm sorry, sir. I know you've been wearing the scapular for your whole life, but you were not enrolled because you didn't know. You got to go to hell now. That's not going to happen. We should, if we could. Our Lady's not like some sort of tax collector. It's like, you got enough. Line C says, how do you do it? I find very beneficial, if you've got children, a good Christmas present is all it takes. What do you mean? You buy them something that they've always wanted, coffee maker, I don't know, something that is going to touch their heart. And with that, maybe even cash, $200. I got you this gift. I use it, and it can be a huge sack. I know I don't got a job right now, but I feel like God wants me to give this to you so that you can use it for XYZ. I only ask you as a favor to me, please wear this. I pray for you every day. I love you. I know you're not going to church. Please, for me, out of love for me, just wear this for me, please. I just give me the peace of knowing that Our Lady's watching over you. It's all it takes. That's all it takes. It works. I've seen it work. And then guess what happens? I hate to say this, but it's true. I'm saying because it's true. St. John of the Cross, a great doctor of the church, says, suffering endears men to Christ. Suffering endears men to Christ. God chose suffering because we all suffer, and God allows suffering to bring about a greater good. The greatest good is our salvation, our conversion. When we suffer, we see clearly. All our possessions, all of the Instagrams, everything that we care about no longer matters to us. I have noticed when you give somebody a scapular, and if you, once you become a child of Mary, she's going to treat you like a little saint. She loves you so much. She's going to kiss you. She's going to give you all the greatest gifts. But she's also going to chastise you. Why? Because Our Lady wants her children to not be brats. And so she's going to be good to you, but at the same time, if you're not doing what she wants you to do, she's going to give you a little smack, just a little something to put you in line. It's not her actively punishing you. It's her allowing you to suffer just a hair of the consequences that you deserve. So you give that scapular to them. You don't know it. Something happens in their life. Somebody in their family passes away. They lose their job. Now, suffering opens the soul to receive grace. It fertilizes the soil, and then they convert. If you were teenagers, you're not teenagers, I would give you a 10-minute meditation on hell. I would tell you how physically horrible it is. It's like, imagine getting your skin peeled off by a potato peeler, a dull one. Imagine having your hair pulled out. Imagine pulling out your eyelids. Oh, it'd be horrible. Imagine a smell so terrible. Imagine being put in an oven and then turning it all the way up and you never get to go to the bathroom and they're shoving feces. I could come up with the worst, most disgusting things. And then I'd go on about the spiritual and emotional torments. Hell is a reality, and people freely choose to go there. And we can stop them from going there if we can just get Mary into their soul. All you have to do is some sort of consistent something, anything Marian in their heart. Our Lady will not let them burn. She won't. She promises that. She promises that. Big proponent of the miraculous medal. My friend Maximilian Kolbe, big proponent of the miraculous medal. He said, all you have to do is convince somebody to wear the miraculous medal and their soul will be saved. You got to convince them to wear it. Mary appeared in 1830 to Catherine Laboure. And on the second apparition, she said, have a medal struck in this image. This medal is really a catechism of our faith, of our Marian theology. She's standing on a globe, because she's the queen of heaven and earth. She's got her foot crushing the head of the serpent, because the book of Genesis, also the book of Revelation, as we mentioned. She's got a crown of 12 stars, and around it says, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. They're literally wearing a prayer on their neck. They may never say it with their mouth, but they're wearing a physical prayer around their neck. You're wearing a physical prayer around your neck. On the back is the cross with Our Lady at the foot of the cross where we became children of Mary. Beneath the foot of the cross, we have the heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary. We're going to talk more about that in our fourth talk. The Sacred Heart of Jesus is crowned with thorns. One of the promises of the Sacred Heart is that anywhere that His image is honored and exposed, I will bring peace to that place. So if you're wearing the miraculous medal, you have peace there. There's an image of the Immaculate Heart of Mary at Fatima. She said, Our Lord wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart so that many souls may be saved. And then all around it, there's the 12 stars, which represent the 12 apostles, the 12 tribes of Israel, etc. This is like a bullet, according to Maximilian Kolbe, that you give it to the person at the right moment when suffering or any other situation enters their life. You pray for them that Our Lady will bring about the conversion. Conversion in evangelization is a gift and grace of God, of the Holy Spirit. We could do all our best to talk to them about God till we're blue in the face, but without Holy Spirit in our lives, without the Holy Spirit, without Mary's intercession — Mary and the Holy Spirit are basically synonymous, essentially, except in their personhood — and you can work in them. Now, there's a Latin axiom, very important Latin axiom. Nemo dat quod non habet. It's Latin for, you cannot give what you do not have. What does that mean? Again, you can't give a miraculous medal if you don't have a miraculous medal. Secondly, you cannot give a devotion to the miraculous medal if you yourself do not have a devotion to the miraculous medal. Our Lady made this promise. Anybody who wears a miraculous medal especially if they wear it around their neck, and they wear it with confidence, they shall receive extraordinary graces. Extraordinary graces. That means extraordinary gifts. And the image of the miraculous medal, Our Lady has rays coming out of her hands. And if you want to know if Our Lady wears jewelry, Our Lady's a very good dresser. When she goes to France, she dresses like French. When she goes to Africa, she's got the greatest headpiece. When she goes to China, she's got the most amazing Chinese outfits. So Our Lady's wearing many rings. And she says, these rings, they have rays coming out of them. And many of them are not glowing because there's graces that nobody's asking me for. And so by wearing the miraculous medal, it's basically saying to Mary, give me all the graces. Give it all to me. And you will notice great miracles, so much so that they call it the miraculous medal. It was originally called the Medal of the Immaculate Conception. Now, why is this so powerful? The scapular is powerful because it's inward. Nobody sees it. It's hidden. There's no consequence. You can wear it. Nobody's going to persecute you. Now this, oh, now you're taking mama to the streets. Everybody who sees you sees this. And wear it with confidence. Well, I got a blue one. I got a bigger one. Wow, it's kind of scary. But the reality is I forget that I'm wearing this. But Our Lady doesn't, and everybody I encounter doesn't. I go to the grocery store. There's no pictures of Jesus and Mary. There's no crucifix in our public places. I'm bringing an icon of Our Lady, an icon that has rays of the graces of God that are coming forth. Everywhere I go, everything I do, if I do any good deed in the eyes of the public, I help somebody cross the street, I give a good tip at the restaurant. If you're wearing religious items, I always encourage you to give good tips, or else they'll have hatred towards you. They'll say, oh, these religious people are so stingy. No, you want to be generous. You want to be generous. They'll say, oh, the Virgin Mary is a good tipper. Anytime somebody's wearing a Virgin Mary, that means a good tip. But that disposes them to be open to Our Lady. Very, 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 very important. Miraculous medals. I buy my miraculous medals in bulk at St. Paul Street Evangelization online store. St. Paul Street Evangelization online store. You can get them in bulk. They come in those little beaded things that I have yours on. The good thing about that beaded chain is that you can use scissors, cut part of it to make it fit around your neck to the height that you like it. And they're bulk and they're cheap. They also have the blue kind that a lot of people like, the blue kind, because it makes Mary stand out more. Now I'm going to talk to you about the most important thing. The only reason, to be honest with you, the only reason I came was to talk about this next part. So we're going to pray one Hail Mary together just so that I deliver it as good as humanly possible, okay? So I can get recharged. All right. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And may all glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is so important. This is really the most important thing that I could possibly say. Everything I'm saying today is important. But if you do only one thing, it's what I'm about to talk about. If you do one thing, why? Because if you do this, everything else is going to fall into place. If you just do this one thing, you'll pray over people, you'll be giving scapulars, you'll be giving miraculous medals, you'll be going to confession frequently, you'll be receiving Holy Communion more powerfully. If you do this one thing, how do I know? Because Our Lady made it clear. At Fatima, she didn't come and say, hey, pray for people. Also, it's a good idea if you do binding prayers. Also, it's another good thing if you go to confession every other week. She didn't do that. Those are all critically important. She didn't say make a holy hour every week. Super important. She didn't say go to Mass and receive on the tongue. Super important. She said pray the rosary every single day. Why? If you do this, it's all going to come. Where did the rosary come from? In times worse than these, St. Dominic was a great preacher. I kind of like to think of St. Dominic as Bishop Barron, because Bishop Barron's a great preacher. I know some people don't like him, but objectively, he's a great preacher. He speaks, people listen. Fulton Sheen, similar. Imagine St. Dominic, 10 times better than Fulton Sheen, 10 times better than Bishop Barron, 10 times better than Mother Angelica. St. Dominic, trying to preach against the Albigensians. Even though he's the most eloquent preacher, he failed. Nobody converted. They would hear his homilies. What did he say? I don't remember, but it was good. Their lives weren't changed. So St. Dominic, burning on fire out of love for God, offered himself as a victim soul. Lord, I offer you everything. I need a solution. I care about souls. I'm trying to live a holy life. I'll fast. I'll do penance. He did so much fasting and penance that he almost died in 3 days. No sleeping, no eating, whipping himself, fainting. But Our Lady says no prayer is ever wasted. He woke up. Our Lady said, Dominic, I'm very pleased with you. I'm answering your prayer. What did Dominic want? He wanted the ability, he wanted a weapon that could convert sinners, that could set souls on fire, that could change the church, that could save the church. We're in the exact same circumstance. The devil's winning. Numbers-wise, he's winning. The church is a failure. Numbers-wise. I go down to the mall, father goes to the mall, or anybody goes, a priest wears a cassock. Who are you? Are you doing cosplay? Are you supposed to be from the Matrix? They don't even know what a Catholic priest is. We used to be in charge of the world. And now nobody knows us. Now we're nothing. We have the living God and nobody cares. We're failing. Just like Dominic was failing. But he got the answer. He got the answer. And Our Lady said, Dominic, preach my Psalter. Don't you know in warfare like this, the answer is the angelic salutation? Preach my Psalter. Very important words. We're going to come back to those words in a minute. Wherever Dominic went, he preached the Psalter. Conversions, mass conversions, mass conversions. Children would do the Psalter, the Marian Psalter, the Rosary. Why do we say the Marian Psalter? Let me just take a step back. Because there's 150 Psalms, there's 150 Hail Marys. The early people were a little low IQ, they couldn't read, they didn't know. So they would just pray the Hail Mary 150 times. Our Lady gave Dominic the mysteries, the meditations on the life of Christ, said how to do it, how to teach it. So that's why we call it the Marian Psalter. It's important I come back to that in a moment. When children would do this, conversions, the kids would be doing penances, great penances. I've seen this with my own eyes. When I was teaching middle school, I taught my children the Psalter, the Marian Psalter, the proper way. And they were converting people. They were healing people. They were doing amazing things. During recess, they'd be out kneeling on concrete, doing penitential rosaries. I got in trouble. What are you doing to the kids? You're making them psycho. I can't even get them to do their homework. They're doing this on their own, I promise. I'm not making them kneel on burning concrete. They're very holy. I have students who are becoming saints in my high school youth ministry, living saints. Some of them are not. Some of them are going to hell if they don't get their lives in order because they're turning away the answer for these problems. Now, why? If Our Lady gave it, it's perfect. Our Lady doesn't do things half. If Our Lady gave it, it's perfect for the purpose in which it was intended. Everything about this is perfect. Everything about this is perfect. It's earlier I said it's objectively boring. That's what makes it good. Everything about it makes it good. The fact that it's boring makes it good. The fact that it's hard makes it good. Why? What is our problem? I'm addicted to my cell phone. I'm getting dopamine hits left and right. I'm checking Facebook all the time. People are addicted to porn all day. They're looking at porn. They're instant gratification. They're eating everything put in front of them. They need to stop. They need to turn off the TV, turn off the Xbox. The fact that it's boring is good. Man sins because of a weak will and a darkened intellect. Our minds are polluted. So when I pray the rosary, it breaks my will. I don't want to do it, and I'm going to do it anyways. I need that. I need that discipline. I need to pray when it doesn't feel good. That's what love is. It's good that it's boring. We need boring in our lives. Two, it's good because of The ingredients. How do you know if something's good for you? Look at the ingredients. What are the ingredients? It's vocal prayer. The Our Father, the Hail Mary. When you pray those words, because remember, sacred scriptures is inspired by the Holy Spirit. You read sacred scripture. How do you do Lectio Divina? You read a passage over and over and over and over until the Holy Spirit hits you. And you're like, oh, I can see with different eyes over this passage. Well, there's no greater words in sacred scripture than the prayer our Lord gave us. There's no greater words in sacred scripture than the words that help the word become flesh in the womb of Our Lady. Hail Mary, full of grace. I pray the rosary, yes, to say the words. But what's happening, I've noticed, it's not me speaking to her when I say Hail Mary, full of grace. It's her speaking to me when I say Hail Mary, full of grace. When I say Hail Mary, full of grace, I can now hear the words of God through an angel. The Holy Spirit will work through this. Is it hard? Yes, it needs to be hard. When you're done praying it, because the ingredients are good, the Holy Spirit necessarily comes. Never was it known that anybody who prayed with Scripture over and over again, in addition to invoking Mary, was not changed. But you have to do it right. Because sometimes we're only doing the vocal prayer. But that's not the whole pizza. There's more ingredients than just the dough. You got to do the rest. Why else is it perfect? Why else is it good? My goodness, it's the best. Why? It's got the entire life of Jesus Christ in my mind. When my mind is polluted by so many sinful images, my brain is all racked with all the dopamine hits from me constantly checking my phone and playing video games. I need this to communicate to me. But the meditation on the life of Christ is extraordinary. It's unlike anything else. Why? Because Christ is alive. The Word of God is alive. I can look at Abraham Lincoln. I can read about George Washington. But I don't fall in love with them. I don't meet them. I don't change reading their life. There's an axiom. I don't remember the Latin, but it's an axiom. A teaching of the saints is a grace remembered is a grace renewed. So if I'm praying the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, for example, if you'll notice when you read about Pentecost, a little something in you gets kind of like excited. You're like, whoa, I can't relate to that, but I like that. I like when they're out there healing and this. And you read about Jesus working miracles and casting out devils. And you're like, yeah, that story is good. The other stuff is a little boring, but that story is good. Tell me more about that. It excites you. A grace remembered is a grace renewed. In your mind, on a daily basis, you're going through the life of Jesus Christ. You're spending time with Jesus Christ. It purifies the mind. It offers illumination. You are able to hear the voice of God. Those who pray the rosary every day, regularly, their minds are changed. Their lives are changed. They're disciplined. They love Jesus Christ. I have children, 9, 13, and 4. They know the life of Jesus Christ better than many adults simply from praying the rosary. It literally goes through every single most important aspect of the life of Jesus Christ. We've got to get our families to pray the rosary together and as children. It is boring, and I will teach you how so that it can not be so boring for children. I'll teach you on how to do that in a little bit. Very important. It's also contemplative. It's also contemplative. God touches your heart. By the end, your heart's different. By the end, your heart's different. It's always different. God touches you. I just want to be very clear. I don't like to do it, but I need it. I need it. If I wasn't praying the rosary every day, I would die spiritually. I would die spiritually. I don't know how people are alive who don't pray the rosary every day, alive in Christ. Our Lady is the perfect daughter of God the Father. When he hears the words, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. He's filled with joy. He's been waiting for those words since the beginning of creation. He was waiting for that moment. All the angels in heaven were waiting for the moment that the angel Gabriel could say, Hail Mary, full of grace. So people say, it's all too Marian. It's all because of Jesus. Those words are so sacred because those are the moment that Jesus came into the womb of the Virgin Mary. The Son loves Our Lady so, so much. When he hears the words of Our Lady, he loves his mother so much. St. Maximilian Kolbe says, we become property of Mary because of Jesus. We give ourselves to Mary because Jesus did. But we give ourselves to Jesus as Mary because he deserves Mary. Jesus deserves another Mary to love. This is going to transform you. And it's greater than the parts. We say, oh, that car's got nice wheels. Oh, that car's got a really nice paint job. When you put it all together, it's more than just wheels and a paint job. That's a freaking nice car. Oh my gosh. Similarly, the rosary is more than just Our Father's, Hail Marys, and meditation on the life of Christ. When you stir that up, it makes something so powerful, you can move mountains. You can bring down empires. We did bring down an empire. We stood up against the Muslims at the Battle of Lepanto, and we can do it again. I have seen so many conversions. One of my dearest, best friends was doing weed. He was using all these hard drugs, partying with girls, hooking up with girls on the various apps, having sex outside of marriage, mortal sin every day. And the devil got him one day, but again, Our Lady just backs up so that you need her. And now he's going to be a priest. And not only is he going to be a priest, he's going to be one of the greatest priests because he's a mama's boy, like Jesus, the greatest high priest. The church is going to have a renewal. The church is only going to have a renewal through Mary, through the rosary. When the rosary fell off, the rosary stopped being preached, the rosary stopped being prayed, and what happened? The Black Plague hit. The Black Plague hit. We got a plague, not as bad as the Black Plague, but we sure are acting like it is. And how did our Lord bring back the rosary? Through Blessed Alan. He was offering the Mass. He said the words of consecration. And he was starting to lift up the host, and he had a vision of Jesus. And he saw Jesus on the cross, bloody. And he said, Alan, why are you crucifying me again? This is in the Eucharist. Lord, and he's having this mystical experience. The people aren't hearing it or saying it. Lord, what do you mean I'm crucifying you again? First, you crucified me because of your sins, and now you crucify me because of the sins of every other person in this church, because you could stop them from sinning. If you only promoted my rosary, you have all the learning, you have all the knowledge, you have all the gifts, and you do not do it. So you're crucifying me again. And after that, Blessed Alan said, okay, let's do this. St. Louis de Montfort, the great preacher of the rosary, has a beautiful book called The Secret of the Rosary. This touches on every aspect of your spiritual life. And Our Lady is a good mother. What does that mean, a good mother? She knows how to get her kids to do what they don't want to do. How? What a good mother does, bribery. Clean your room, we'll go get you some ice cream. That's what a good mother does. No offense. But she knows how to get her kids. You either punish them in one way or you reward them. So when they're being good, she gives a good reward. So what are the rewards that Our Lady promises for praying the Most Holy Rosary? There's many more promises than this, but this is a list of 15. The first is they shall receive signal graces, little signs, communications from the Blessed Mother, little coincidences that touch the heart. So, for example, for me, I prayed the rosary. I was at a race car place with my son for his birthday called Andretti in Katy, Texas. And we were racing there, and I said, Joseph, I sure would love to go back to Gun Barrel because they have a place called What's Up. And here, Andretti's very nice, but it's $30 for one race. I ain't got money for that. You can race one time. Happy birthday. Too bad we can't go to Gun Barrel because over there they have a What's Up. You can race all day for $30 and get unlimited video games, and you can do rock wall, and you can do bumper cars. That same day, I got a message from Father Bolin. Gabe, want to give a mission? What day? August 14th. And I said, wow, my patron, my spiritual patron, St. Maximilian Kolbe. My YouTube channel, the face of it is Maximilian Kolbe. Because he said everything for Mary, the best technology, the best everything. And I said, wow, on the Feast of Maximilian Kolbe, I can't wait. And then I remembered, St. Jude is my confirmation saint. It was all lining up. So signal graces, little signs from God that to others are a coincidence. But for you, you know very clearly what the Lord is trying to tell you. He's trying to say, I got you. Don't worry. Signal graces also include, let's say you're walking down the street and a dog comes barking at you, and you say, oh, I'm out. That dog is barking like a mad dog. That's a little sign that you have to cross the street. You don't recognize. You just know it's an oddity. In the world of God, there are no coincidences. There's no coincidences. You cross the street, little do you know there's some thugs that are going to jump you had you walked by. But because of this random dog barking at that right moment, signs from God. I don't know who doesn't want a sign from God. Number two, you get special protection and the greatest graces. I love to think of our dear beloved Pope John Paul II. St. John Paul II would pray four rosaries a day. And on the feast of Our Lady of Fatima, May 13th, 1981, he was in St. Peter's Square. And not from the distance from me to that camera, there was a gunman, an assassin named Mehmet Ali Aka. And he pulled out a gun and shot him. He was a perfect marksman, shot him right in the chest. And John Paul II knew he was going to live. They were saying, oh, Holy Father, oh. He's like, don't worry, I'll be okay. I'll be okay. I'll be fine. How did you know that you were going to be okay? I had a presentiment that I was going to be okay because Our Lady is my protector. And I knew that although one evil finger was pulling the trigger, I knew I had another divine finger guiding the bullets. And the bullets missed all of his vital organs. And not only that, he lived for 20 more years after that, did extraordinary things. And even more extraordinary than that, he was given the opportunity to forgive. Like Christ, he could say, I forgive you. Special protection. A lot of times we don't realize the protection we get. But it all comes back to humility. What do I mean? Let's say there was a great storm and your fence got knocked down. There's two ways to look at that. You could say, thank you, Lord. Only my fence knocked down. My family is safe. I'm so blessed. Or you could say, God, how could you? That fence is $150. Just this one little piece of wood. I just put that up. Wow. Special protection. And then people will say, I prayed four rosaries. Nothing happened. You could only imagine the evil would have happened had you not been praying those rosaries, okay? I always tell my mom that because she's like, you pray so much and you still have little times of impatience. I know, imagine I'd be cursing up a storm if I didn't pray my rosaries. I love my mom. She's a good woman. Number three, very important. I'm not going to go through all of these because on the back of the image I gave you are all of these listed. The rosary will be a powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, it will decrease sin, and it will defeat heresies. Sin is the number one problem in the world today. It will destroy vice. I've seen it. I feel so bad for the young women. I feel so bad for young women. I have so many good, pure women in my youth ministry, and they say, Mr. Gabe, there's no good men out there. And I say, first of all, you're in high school. You should not be dating until you're 2 years before you're ready to get married. But besides that, you're right. Most men have been damaged because of a pornified culture. Even if they're not looking at it, their worldview, their perception of women, the way that you go through the mall, you see lingerie, you see all this, the perception of women is so distorted, they're damaged. Even if they're not looking at pornography, they're damaged. How can I help them? Pray the rosary with them. The only way they should find your heart is through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. If you want your husband to be pure, if you want your husband to be virtuous or your wife to be virtuous, get them to pray the rosary. Why? Because it makes you holy. What is holiness? It's union with God, who is love. It makes their capacity to love you greater. Makes their capacity to love you greater. And there is no addiction. There is no sin that cannot be overcome with this. There's nothing that cannot be overcome with this. But we got to do it. You got to put in the time and you got to keep doing it or you'll fall back into it. Virtue and good works will flourish. You will obtain the abundant mercy of God. You will overcome the love of the world and its vanities, and it will lift you to a desire of eternal things. A lot of times people convert, but they still have their hand in the world. They're still listening to bad music. They're still watching bad movies. What will happen through the rosary, as you're meditating upon the life of Christ, as you're meditating upon the purity of the Virgin Mary, you no longer want those impurities anymore. You don't even want to hear it. You don't want to listen to that music. You don't want to see movies that have horrible things in it. Before you were like, yeah, that's entertainment. At least it's entertainment. Don't judge me. It's just my sinful pleasure, okay? No, you don't even want that anymore when you're putting so much effort. And your friend's like, you changed. No, yeah, okay, I changed, but it's true. But the problem is not me. The problem is you, and you've been desensitized. Those who pray the rosary shall not perish. They shall never be conquered by misfortune. When you've prayed your rosary, you can be assured bad things are going to happen to you. No doubt. But if you've already prayed the rosary and the bad thing happens, you can be assured that Our Lady's going to bring good out of it every time. When something bad happens to me and I haven't prayed, I say it happened because I did not pray it. And if it happens to me after I've prayed, I say it happened because Our Lady's going to bring out something very good from this. Just trust that when Our Lady works, she brings it to many good ends. If you're a child of Mary and something bad happens, many good things will come from it. I promise. Number 7, they shall not die without the sacraments of the church. That means you're going to die with confession. You're going to die with the Eucharist. You won't be in mortal sin. You will either give up the rosary or you'll go back to your sins. Why is this so powerful? Because let's say you say, if you prayed 300, if you just prayed one rosary a day, which is 365 rosaries a year, times 50 Hail Marys, times 50 years of your life, that is thousands and thousands of Hail Marys you would have said by the time you die. If you pray 4 rosaries a day, multiply that thousands and thousands times 4, you're saying, pray for me now and at the hour of my death. St. John Bosco, the patron saint of the youth, had a great saint who is a protege of his named Dominic Savio. He died in his teens. After Dominic died, he came back to John Bosco. John Bosco wanted to know, what was death like? What was the hardest thing? What was the scariest thing? What was the most consoling thing? Were you consoled because you lived a virtuous life, because you lived a pure life? Now, that helped a little, but I was still scared. Well, what gave you consolation? Knowing all the rosaries that I prayed throughout my life and knowing that I was a devout son of Mary was my greatest consolation at the hour of my death. When it's all said and done, there's nothing that we're going to be able to say, God, I'm a good person. I should go to heaven because I did this, this, and this. There's nothing that you can say that would merit heaven. All you can say is, I loved Mary and I'm her child. You'll get delivered from purgatory. Many of the saints say that Our Lady herself comes and gives consolation to the souls in purgatory, especially on the Feast of the Assumption. I forget which saint said that, but he said that. I read that recently. You will obtain all your requests by the persistent recitation of the rosary. You might not always get what you want, but you will get what you need. You will get what you want, provided it's not bad for you. And you, the only one who will know that is God. He'll give you what you need, and you'll get it when you need it in the present moment. Anybody who promotes the rosary will be aided by me in their necessities. Promoters of the rosary will have the help of heaven and all of the saints in heaven. You are sons and daughters of Mary. You will also have the light of God. So I said that this is kind of like my listening ear. When you pray the rosary, ideas will come to your head. A lot of times people say, I'm getting distracted. No. If you're praying the Hail Mary, the Holy Spirit is working. Bring a pen, write it all down. Our Lady is trying to tell you, you need to do this, you need to do that. Our Lady is a woman of action, a woman of prayer, but a woman who gets things done. She knows how to run a good house. She knows how to take care of her kids. She knows how to provide for her family. When you're praying the rosary and thoughts come to you, write those down. Those are divine thoughts. This is Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Just pray this. Somebody's coming to your house. Okay, get that rosary in. Many of you pray the rosary every day. I can tell. Or else you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here learning about God unless you prayed regularly. And you might say, and you'd be right if you said, Gabe, that sounds wonderful. Sounds delightful. I don't experience any of those miracles. I don't experience any of those graces. And I would say, amen, you don't. You don't. It's because you're not praying the rosary. You're not, the promises were not for this. When Our Lady appeared to St. Dominic and she gave these promises, and they're real, in the moment you finish your correct rosary, you feel it like a flood from heaven. There's times where I'm feeling oppressed emotionally, mentally. I can't sleep at night. I finish my rosary. Boom. It hits me. So much peace, so much consolation when I'm done. Why do I say we're not praying the rosary? Remember what I said in the beginning. Dominic, preach my Psalter. What did that mean? 150. This is only 53. If you read the book, The Secret of the Rosary, I have a copy of it over here. St. Louis de Montfort is very clear. Pray the rosary all 15 decades, every day. And you little children, of course, it's too much to ask you to pray the entire rosary every day. So you can just pray 5 decades. So the reality is we're going into battle with children's weapons. They're good. It's better than nothing. You will see progress. You will see change. But if you want power, you got to do this more than once. Got to do it more than once. And I promise you, I give you my word, lives will change. Not only your life, but everybody else's life will change. This is how you hear the voice of Our Lady. This is how you do the will of Our Lady. If you do this, you will go to confession. You will. If you go to the confession line and you ask, do you pray to Our Lady? The majority of them there who go to confession regularly, they're children of Mary. The ones who it's been 10 years and they won't go back for another 10 years, it's a miracle that you came in here, but usually they're not children of Mary. This is the key. Is it hard? Yes, but what this does is it radically, radically revolutionizes your life. How and why? If you were going to pray the rosary according to the way Our Lady revealed it to St. Dominic and all the way all the saints did it, St. Louis de Montfort, St. Alphonsus, St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, St. Charles Borromeo, all the saints from the time of St. Dominic, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Alphonsus, did I already mention him? I love him a lot. St. Padre Pio, St. John Bosco, St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. John Paul II, St. John the 23rd, St. Mother Teresa, St. Lucia, St. Jacinta. I could go through a list of thousands of saints. They all did it this way. So the Psalter is what? It's one long prayer. You start the beginning of the day in the morning. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. And that's the only time you do that prayer. Why? Because this is the beginning of a long one. And then you do your five decades in the morning, thinking about the life of Christ, thinking about the Annunciation, thinking about the Visitation. Every day you're thinking about these things. Remember, a grace remembered is a grace renewed. And then you stop. Then sometime at lunch, on your lunch break, you can just bust out a decade, but you move on to the Luminous Mysteries without adding the Apostles' Creed. You move on to the Luminous Mysteries. Baptism of Jesus, the wedding feast at Cana, Mary's powerful intercession, the preaching of Jesus, the transfiguration, the institution of the Eucharist. This is going to build in you a holy hunger. In the morning, in the day, and at night, I go to the sorrowful mysteries. And what's going to happen is your life will be radically transformed. Because a lot of us suffer from diabolical infestations. That's when the devil is working on us hard. And in the morning, I pray my rosary and I have so much peace. But the rest of the day is like a tornado. Not if you knock them out in the morning and you're punching back and you're firing your bullets in the morning. You're firing your bullets in the afternoon. You're firing your bullets in the evening. The devil does not want to come to your house. He hates being around you. But he's observant. He knows when we pray and he knows when we don't. He sees, oh, she's a morning prayer. All night's the time when I'm going to ruin her life. You have the power to change the world. Our Lady has given us a great and tremendous gift. Great, tremendous gift. This is it. I carry this everywhere I go. I've got a rosary in my hand. I've got a rosary in my pocket. I've got a rosary around my wrist. I've got a rosary around my neck. Why? Because if I ever forget this, and sometimes, sadly to say, I'm in a hurry, and I went, oh, I forgot my rosary. I still got one, two, I got at least two rosaries with me. I'm not without my weapon. Not without my weapon. Now, how to do this? Number one tip to praying the rosary. You will not pray the rosary if you do not do this. Are you ready? Tip number one. Always, always, always carry a rosary. Some people will say, I'll use my fingers. Your fingers are first and foremost fingers. They're in every place that they should not be, except around the rosary. If you have a rosary with you, you give Our Lady the opportunity to remind you to pray it. Even if you carry it in your pocket, something bad happens, there's a little itch in your pocket, you feel your rosary, then she applies some grace and is like, pray the rosary. And you're like, okay, I'll do it. Fine, I don't want to, but fine. I'll turn off the radio and pray the rosary. That's true. And you're like having an argument with the Virgin Mary in your car. People think you're crazy. Number one, always carry a rosary with you. Number two, this is the most important thing. This is the most important thing to all prayer. We forget because we always do vocal prayer. Mary's present. The number one goal, Mary is present. When you remember that Mary is present, you sin less and you act more virtuous. If you have a sense of Our Lady's presence, are you going to commit a solitary sin? No, because Our Lady's looking at you. If you're in the presence of Our Lady and you see a poor person, and you're literally having a conversation with Mary, and you see a poor person, normally you're like, you probably deserve to be there, and you're going to keep walking. But if Our Lady, if you're talking with Our Lady, she's going to say, what are you doing? Give him a dollar. Number three, the Apostles' Creed only one time. If you're going to pray four rosaries a day, I recommend going in chronological order. So in the morning, and you have to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, this is not going to get done. In the morning, you do the joyful mysteries. Sometime around lunch, you do the luminous mysteries. Make rules for yourself to say, I'm going to have two done before noon. And then do the sorrowful mysteries on the way home from work. And then do the glorious mysteries in the evening. If you're going to do three, because technically you could only do three. If you really wanted to, you could be like, Our Lady said, Mary and Psalter, 150. I'm sorry, Jack. That's enough for me. It's not a sin not to do anything. It's good to do one. So it's good to do three. If you're going to do three, you can do I recommend you do at some point the luminous. So some people are like, ah, the luminous was JP2. I'm against that. Mary did not say the luminous. You do you. Meditating on the life of Christ is good. I recommend if you're going to do three, try to do the same three for the day. Like if you're going to do joyful on Monday, do joyful three times a day. That's my recommendation. Why do I not want you to leave out the luminous? Some people say, oh, JP2, he added it. What if Our Lady inspired him to add it because of the problems that we face today? What do we face today? Catholics who are baptized and don't have any faith. Baptized unbelievers. What's the first mystery of the luminous? The baptism of Jesus. What do we face today? Two men, two women, three men, three women, two men and one woman, trying to get married. What's the second mystery? The sanctity of holy matrimony. What do we lack today? Our Lady, her role at the wedding feast, to intercede and turn our poor water into wine. What do we lack today? Good preaching. That preaches on sin, joy, heaven, hell, the things that matter, in ways that matter. Third mystery, the proclamation of the kingdom. What do we lack today? The reality that Jesus is divine. We say, oh, he's just a philosopher. Yeah, Jesus is a cool guy. The transfiguration shows he's not no philosopher. Philosophers don't fly in the sky and dazzle glowing white. What do we lack today? Faith in the real presence. Hunger for the Eucharist. Reverence for the Eucharist. The fifth mystery of the luminous is the institution of the Eucharist. And even more importantly for us, the priesthood. We need young men meditating on the priesthood every day because we have a lack of vocations. And the vocations we get are only going to be those who are really following the call of God. So I encourage you to include the luminous. If you don't, it's not the end of the world. It's better than nothing. But objectively speaking, last time I checked on the number line, 3 is higher than 1 and 4 is higher than 3. So if all things are equal, a person who prays 4 gets more grace than a person who prays 3. St. Alphonsus says, he who prays more gets more. So you could pray even more. Go for it. We need your help. Number 4, break it up. Don't do it all in one sitting. It wasn't meant to be done in all in one sitting. When priests, for example, pray the Liturgy of the Hours, there's morning prayer, afternoon prayer, and evening prayer. I recommend that as a good balance, again, for the same reason. In the morning, you're facing battles. In the afternoon, you're facing battles. If you work, I encourage you to pray a rosary before you get home, because a lot of times what the devil will do is have us try to drag our imagination to the things that were happening at work, and then self-pity, I've had a long day, and then you go to your family, and your kids haven't seen you all day, I just need a minute, just give me a minute, can't you guys? And then you're looking at your phone, oh, you're bringing all your problems from work home. No, your vocation at work is beneath your vocation to your family. You need to be reset, recharged to give your family 100% attention to be loving with them when you get home from work. And then the last rosary, I know it's hard, pray with your family. I know it's hard. It doesn't have to be pretty. Just get it done. Just get it done. The words themselves are efficacious. Mom, it's boring. Yes, and we're all doing it. But why? Now you have an opportunity to teach them why. So you can pray for so-and-so, so you can pray for so-and-so. That's why when we did it in the church earlier, I said, number one, think of your own intentions. We're all greedy. I will do any what if I have a sufficient why. Think of what you want that is so bad you're willing to kneel here for 20 minutes. and then give them something to meditate upon, especially when they're little. If you start this when they're little, 4, 5, 6, tell them the story. I remember telling my son, okay, we're going to hear about how Jesus was crucified. Yeah, and then they got the nail and they slammed it in his hand and they held him up and they were mocking him and ridiculing him. You're telling them a story, and then they want to hear more, and then you pray 10 Hail Marys. Mary is present. Help them to have a sense of Mary's presence. Tell them the story so that they can imagine it. Very powerful. And then little do you know, something's going on in their life at school, at work, at home that you don't know about, and their hearts will be changed. The kids that I have, they become great saints. Usually, 99% of the time, it's the ones who already have a strong family life and they already have been praying together. They have something to fall back on. And you can say, I made my kids pray, now they hate God. You're going to be judged on your vocation as a parent. They will be judged for their own lives. Saying, oh, they're going to turn their backs on me is not an excuse not to do anything. If you don't stop them, they're going to turn their backs on you. The world wants our kids. You have to do something. And remember what I said, pray for me now and at the hour of my death. So even if they go and they become lesbian, even if they go and they become drug dealers, whatever, at their death they're getting, Hail Mary, pray for me now and at the hour of my death. The thousands of Hail Marys that you gave them as a child, they're getting it at the hour of their death. And Our Lady said, and St. Alphonsus reiterated, those who have a devotion to my Immaculate Heart will not be lost. St. Alphonsus said, no child of Mary shall ever be lost. When they were children, you gave them to Our Lady, whether they liked it or not. And the reality is, we too were saved before we wanted to be saved. Don't be too scrupulous. Just do it. Just get it done. We should do our best. But if something is worth doing, it's better that we do it poorly than not at all. On Mother's Day, I should take my mom to dinner. I should wine her and dine her and get on my knees and say, thank you for being my mother. If I can't do that, I better at least call her. At Fatima, Our Lady didn't say, pray one Hail Mary with a lot of love. She didn't say that. She said, pray the rosary. When my kids, I say, clean your room. Oh, I picked up my pillow with a lot of love. Get the heck out of my face and go clean your room. You did not do what I said. Pray the rosary. Don't be too scrupulous. Some people will say, it takes me 45 minutes to pray one rosary. What are you doing? What are you doing with that rosary? Well, I forget which one I'm on, so I start all over. No! If Mary doesn't want you to forget, she better give you the grace to remember, because we're moving forward, because I've got another rosary coming up at 12. We're going. We're moving. Do your best. Do your best. But I have found on the days that it's hard, and it's going to be hard 99 days out of 100, I found that on the days that it's hard and I do it, my life has changed. My life has changed. I'm filming this video, so hopefully a priest will see it. If you're a priest, none of you here are priests, maybe somebody, a gentleman, will become priest, and a man comes into the confessional and he says, I'm addicted to porn. I've been cheating on my wife. I want to stop, but I can't. I'm a drug addict. I'm an alcoholic. What advice are you going to give them? Stop. Stop looking at porn. Put your phone away. When the person has been trying 100 times and has failed 100 times, what advice are you going to give them? You have one chance to save their family. What advice are you going to give them that's going to work? There's only one promise that's given by heaven that's been backed up by countless saints, the rosary. I have seen it time and again. Young boys addicted to pornography, men addicted to drugs. And I tell them, how bad do you want to stop? I want to stop at any cost. So bad that you'll pray 4 rosaries a day? Yes, and they stop, and they become great saints. They're the ones in church. A lot of times we think, oh, only old ladies who pray the rosary in church. It's God help us, because they're in church because of that rosary. They're the only ones in church because of that rosary. Pray the rosary. When you can't think straight, when you're in depression, when you're anxiety, when somebody's dying, this will help you to think straight. There's going to be, everybody in this room is going to be at a funeral. Everybody in this room is going to be faced with sudden illness and certain death. When you don't know what else to do, Our Lady has granted extraordinary promises from this. I will end with this. If you'll take a look at the back of the image of the Immaculate Heart that I gave you, Man, I got some great quotes in the back of this. I'm going to read one before we go. Our Lady revealed to Blessed Alan that no sooner had St. Dominic begun preaching the rosary than hardened sinners were touched and wept bitterly over their grievous sins. Young children performed incredible penances, and everywhere that he preached the Holy Rosary, such fervor arose that sinners changed their lives and edified everyone by their penances and change of heart. That's just a quote from the book, The Secret of the Rosary. I encourage you to get it. It's at tanbooks.com. It's also available on Amazon. The Secret of the Rosary. If you don't want to pray it, read that book. It will make you want to pray it because of the power of the testimonies in there. All right, this is a quote given by Sister Lucia. Sister Lucia is probably one of the most blessed mystics of modern times. Our Lady appeared to her at Fatima many times. Jesus and Mary also appeared to her in her convent cell. She also appeared to her many other times throughout her life that are not recorded. So Our Lady was talking to Sister Lucia regularly. A lot of times people come to me and they say, Gabriel, help me with this. What advice do you have? I can only give you the advice of the Virgin Mary and the words of Sister Lucia. So let's read this quote. The Most Holy Virgin in these last times in which we live has given a new efficacy to the recitation of the rosary to such an extent that there is no problem, no matter how difficult it is, whether temporal or above all spiritual, in the personal life of each one of us, of our families, that cannot be resolved by the rosary. There is no problem, I tell you. No matter how difficult it is, she's talking to all of us. There's no problem, temporal or spiritual, no matter how difficult it is, that we cannot resolve by the prayer of the Most Holy Rosary. We got to pray it frequently. We got to pray it fervently. We got to pray it often, often, with confidence. And Our Lady's going to do wonders. She can do wonders. Never was it known that anyone who went to her was left unaided. Let's close in a prayer, and then we'll have lunch. Thanks. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed Mother, we ask that you bring us all back here, renewed and strong in fervor and in faith for the next two talks. Help me to speak less and say more. And bless all these wonderful people, all the intentions that they have in their heart, all the longings that they have. Hear and answer them. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.